Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, counting you down on a Monday evening. And we go right back to the hotline right now as we bring in our good friend we've not spoken to in a couple of weeks, our Hollywood guru, Al Harris, who is still celebrating a Browns victory yesterday. Al, how are you, my friend?
Fantastic. Yeah, Baker's looking good. It was a good day. Cavs win on Saturday. Hanukkah. It's been a solid week.
Very nice. Well, let's hope that continues for you, my friend. And boy, it's been a solid 3 weeks at the top of the box office for the Wreck-It Ralph sequel. Now, I'm not saying I dislike the movie. I have not seen it yet. I like the original. I was a little surprised to see it at the top 3 straight weeks. And by all accounts, Al, it seems like this is kind of the calm before the storm before things really pick up at the box office.
Yeah. I don't know why it's top. It's just like lack of real big name movies, things underperforming. I don't know. I like the first Wreck-It Ralph. I thought it was fun. This one I really don't have a lot of interest in. The critics are like, the reviews are good, but kind of like not like effusively good. They're kind of like, yeah, it was good, you know, which isn't getting me into see it anymore. But yeah, I think it's definitely calm before the storm. Maybe not necessarily quality-wise, but definitely money-wise. And we're talking about Aquaman, Bumblebee, which actually has been getting really good reviews. Critics saying this is the Transformers movie they've all been waiting for. It's more like the TV series than the Michael Bay ones, which are just action in this. There's a lot more heart in this one. So that's interesting. I'm kind of intrigued by that. So that would be definitely one of the top ones on my list coming out. But, yeah, Bumblebee, Aquaman, we said earlier, the Mary Poppins movie. So there's a bunch of movies coming out that are going to do well in the box office. So I think as you so eloquently put it, yeah, it's kind of the calm before the storm, especially when, you know, Christmas Day movies come. And then those always, you know, people eat those up. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty big the next month or so.
And we'll come back around to that because I want to know which of those movies you are most excited about in the coming weeks. And that goes really past the calendar year as well. It's not like, you know, the Academy Award season just kind of stops after we get past Christmas. So we'll get into some of those here in just a moment. But you had alluded to Aquaman also. Well, what do we make of the numbers posted over the weekend in China for Aquaman? Because it did extraordinarily well in China. And, boy, I think you have to believe that it should do more of the same here, no?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I always thought, I mean, these kind of movies always do pretty well overseas, but yeah, I think it's without a fact. I mean, like we said last time I was on, there's no Star Wars this year. There's no, like, real big blockbuster except for Aquaman. And even though these Justice League movies never do well with critics, they always do pretty well in the box office. And I don't see this one doing much different, even though it really does not look good. I don't know how charming Jason Momoa is, but he definitely was, I thought, one of the weaker links in Justice League. So we'll see if he can carry the movie. But honestly, whether the movie's awful, whether he can carry it or not, it's going to do big numbers. It will own the box office in December. It'll have the highest numbers. I don't see any way that not happening. So yeah, I think it's going to do great. I think the Chinese numbers definitely will show, have kind of a predictor on how it's going to do, but I think it's going to do great no matter what.
Well, yeah, and in China, it did almost $100 million on its opening weekend out there, too. So if that's an indicator, sure, it could do some special things. I want to get into another movie here for just a second, Al, that I think I was maybe expecting a little bit bigger from. I mean, I've not seen it just yet, but I mean, obviously the last few weeks, it was not able to crack the Wreck-It Ralph code because Wreck-It Ralph, again, as we mentioned, has been at the top of the box office for the last 3 weeks. But have you had a chance to see Creed 2 or review Creed 2? I've not really heard many bad things about it, but at the same time, I haven't heard a lot about it, period.
I have not seen it. I've been wanting to. It's been on my list. I've talked to a few people who have, and they've really, really enjoyed it. I definitely think it's, what I've heard is, while Creed was kind of like, you know, the same shape and form of a Rocky movie. It did things differently. It was a little more outside the box. This one, what I've heard is it's a really good Rocky-style movie, but it pretty much adheres to everything you expect. I don't know. I think it was a weird time of year to come out, the sequel. I think it could have been done better, or maybe if it came out like April or May. I always thought, I know if they were trying to get like Academy Award nominations. This is always a tough time of year. There's two movies that do really well this time of year, and that is family-oriented movies and blockbuster and Oscar award fare. And then with your one, you know, one or two blockbusters sprinkled in to try and get the holiday crowd. So yeah, it was a weird release date. I think that's really what hindered it. And then just without Ryan Coogler being involved and kind of more of the same. But I think, to me, the biggest issue I thought was just the release date of it, because it is doing really well reviews. It's got the same star power as the first one had. So that's really the only thing that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I had spoken to someone over the weekend that said they saw it. They said they liked it. Not like over the top, it was awesome, it can't miss, but I heard it was pretty solid. And anytime you hear that about a movie, you think, wow, well, I guess the numbers were expected to be a little bit better, but I digress. I mentioned we'd come back around to the movies that you're really excited about, not necessarily just before the end of the calendar year, but, you know, as we get closer to Academy Awards season, there are some pretty awesome titles coming out here over the next few weeks. And you mentioned a couple there after we asked you the first question about the box office, but what are some movies that you're really excited to go see in the theater here over the next few weeks?
Well, I'll give you one of each. I'll give you the one blockbuster I'm kind of interested in. I told you Bumblebee's gotten really good reviews. I'm a big fan of that director. The trailers look something different. It's more of like a coming age. I heard it's got some Spielberg flair thrown in, so excited for that as far as blockbusters go. As far as Academy Award, Indie Darlings, really excited for If Beale Street Could Talk, which I think will do really well on the Academy Award front. That's the new movie from Barry Jenkins, who did Moonlight, which was one of my favorite movies when the year it came out. So pretty excited for that one. But then my number one has to be Vice. I loved Big Short. Adam McKay's fantastic. The cast is, perfect. That trailer looked amazing, so I'm all in on that one. It did really well as far as Golden Globe nominations go, so I can't be more excited for that movie. That's definitely my number one anticipated movie of the year.
I got to be honest, man. That you know what my number one is? That's my number two. That looks like it's going to be fantastic. You mentioned the star power involved there. You know, a healthy chunk of the cast in The Big Short also. So not only does it look like it's going to be fun and funny, it also tells a pretty compelling story as well. So I'm definitely on board with you on that.
Yeah, I just can't get into Holmes and Watson, man. I'm trying. I'm just not in, man. There's something about that trailer. I don't know. I will see it. I love John C. Reilly. I love Will Ferrell. But right now, I'm very skeptical of it.
That's all right. Well, you know what? When it comes out on Christmas, you know, I'll shoot you a text after I get out of the theater, because I will most definitely be seeing that Christmas Day. Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, Al, I read something a little bit earlier today, and I'm not sure how long this news has been out there, but I saw that Court TV is actually expected to return in 2019. Any thoughts on Court TV coming back? Is this the kind of thing that's sustainable? You think it could stick around for a while?
I have no idea. I feel like we're watching Court TV on the news every day, so maybe if you want more arguing, I don't know, man. I feel like you do a show with, but you know, people are also in love with, you know, the real life crime story. So if they do some of that sprinkled in with actual court cases, I don't really remember the original Court TV besides Nancy Grace and some judge shows. So I don't know. I was never a big Court TV fan. I think there's room for, you know, court shows on the network. I don't necessarily think that should be an entire channel, but that's just me. People liked it. I guess there's some people that are pumped for it, but I will not be one of them.
See, I think you're onto something. The initial reaction you had there was, you know, we feel like we watch Court TV when you watch the news every single day. And I think you're right. I think you're spot on with that. It's almost like reality TV in some ways has kind of taken over for what we saw on Cork TV, especially back in the late 90s, early 2000s, whenever it was. So I think that assessment is 100% spot on. That leads me to believe it's not going to last too long. But
no.
Again,
well, it's not just reality TV, too. It's legitimately the news, man. It's every talking head show you have is just arguing. And isn't that what Cork TV is? Just arguing. I get it. There's like, you know, if this person's convicted or not. I don't know, man. I feel like there's too much arguing on TV. Let's calm it down a bit. Let's get back to the more scripted stuff. Man, I'm so far behind on everything. There's too much content, period. I don't know. That's my take.
Yes, and too much content can get very confusing. No question about that. Well, I want to throw this a different direction here. It's not necessarily new content, but apparently there's a new Star Trek series, one of two different projects that Patrick Stewart apparently is working on. You think this Star Trek thing has enough to still stick and to work for a different series? You still think there's enough interest out there for this thing to continue to go? I feel like it's been taken a few different directions. You know, they've made some movies. They've made a number of different series. You still think there's enough out there to extend this?
Oh, 100%. Like, it's Star Trek fans or Star Trek fans. I don't necessarily think this kind of stuff will bring in, you know, non-Trek fans. It's more of like bringing in the existing, but there's such a large population of Star Trek fans that eat this stuff up. And I think they were smart. They did that CBS Access show. They didn't put it actually on CBS because, you know, they knew that these people that are Star Trek fans are going to find it no matter what. They're not really going for new viewers, or they would have put it on CBS. So they know what they're doing. They're going to find the right viewers for the show. Yeah, I think there will always be a place for Star Trek, just like I think there's always a place for Star Wars. So the crazy thing is, can you imagine in the future when they're doing, like, Marvel-type shows in, like, 30 years with the people that grew up with there? I feel like that's kind of the same. Star Trek was huge when it first came out, so I definitely think you could see that in 30 years with, like, Marvel TV shows, like, nostalgic for that era. It's weird, but people grew up with that, people loved it, and I think they'll still do well.
Yes, not necessarily boldly going where no man has gone before, but look, they can still make that series work, and you're right, I think there are enough Trekkies out there that would still latch onto it. All right, Al, before we let you go, my friend, what are your picks to click for this week?
So my pick to click isn't, like, not everyone's going to love it because it's subtitled. It's supposedly a little slow, but it's a movie called Aroma, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who did Gravity. It's a Netflix movie. Takes place in Mexico, Spanish language. But it's getting phenomenal reviews and should be Netflix's best shot at an Academy Award nomination for Best Picture. They've been really trying in the past couple of years, and this has been their best shot. Like I said, the reviews are amazing through it. All critics, best and list, have this pretty close to the top. So I'm super excited for it. It comes out Friday on Netflix. Definitely more of like a cinephile type movie, but for those that love films, should definitely be excited for this one.
Very good stuff, Al. Well, look, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will do this again 1 week from today. How about that?
Perfect. I will maybe be around. We'll talk.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we'll cross our fingers, my friend. Al, as always, we appreciate it, man. Have a good week.
You too, man.
Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to step aside and take a break. Matt Douglas and I will come back with more right after this. Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL.